The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
Jesus will come again with a judgment and with authority, and there will be a vindication and an exaltation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is that when Jesus comes, he will reject those who rejected him. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you, my friend, must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Jesus and Discipleship.
Notice secondly, the clarification of discipleship, because sometimes people take this first verse, this verse number 23, and they spiritualize it and they allegorize it. So let's read verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. All right? How many of you have ever read that verse before? Let me see. All right? We've all read that verse before, but let's break it apart just a little bit. First of all, notice the myth of self-preservation. There is first a myth here, and the myth is found in verse 24. Whosoever will save his life. The word save, speaking of trying to always stay out of danger, trying to avoid being too Christian because what would they think? Trying not to identify too much with Jesus. A little bit afraid to pray at lunch at Denny's. A little bit worried about what somebody might think about us, right? Trying to save face. Jesus said there is a myth here. If you think you're going to save yourself. Mark 8 speaks of it as well. And for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if one wishes to control one's life, it will be lost because of the refusal to follow God passionately. Now the fact is that some Christians try so hard not to identify too closely with Jesus Christ. They're trying to save their image, only to the point that they're hurting their testimony in the end. And in their attempt to save themselves from perhaps persecution because of being a true Christian, they really lose their testimony. They really lose their opportunity and their purpose in this life. And friend, I want to encourage you. The goal of the Christian life is identification with Jesus, not preservation of self. And whatever it is that you have to lose in order to be closer with Jesus, listen to me. Even if it's a friend who's been cheating on his wife, a friend that's been taking drugs, a friend that's been out living for the world, and you're afraid you might offend him, sometimes what you got to say is, I have decided to follow Jesus. You say, well, I don't want to offend that guy. Listen, sometimes just by hanging around the wrong crowd, you're going to draw yourself back in. And what you need to say is, I'm going to follow Jesus crowd. I have decided to follow. But here's the thing. We want to save face. Hey, dude. Hey, how's it going? Hey, good, good, good. Oh, yeah, church. Hey, amen, amen, amen. We want to kind of be cool at work. We want to be cool with our buds that we play with. We want to be cool over here. And Jesus basically saying, hey, quit trying to save your life and be willing to lose your life in order that you can follow me. You understand that? Say amen. Say, but I like my life. I mean, go Raiders. We're going to have a little party, you know, out in the parking lot, and we're going to barbecue and have some cold ones and tell some off-color jokes and just this and that. Hey, Jesus said, look, you cannot serve God and mammon. We're talking today not about just hanging around church. We're talking about being a disciple. Amen. And Jesus said, here's the assessment. If you're going to be my disciple, then you can't be trying to save your life. You've got to be willing to lose your life in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There were some missionaries bound for Africa, and they were on a boat heading to Africa back before airplanes. And they were being laughed at by some of the crew. They had given some gospel tracts. They had tried to witness to the crew. And when they told the crew where they were going in Africa and the fact that there were various different tribal issues and people from various business trades had lost their life in that particular country, the crew and the captain also began to say, look, you are fools. You're going to do nothing there but die there. That's all that's going to happen. You are going to die in Africa. And one of the missionaries spoke up and said to the captain, Captain, we died before we ever started the trip. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means you're going to die to your life before you step into work tomorrow. Because it's not about your life, it's about Jesus. Right? Now, if Jesus will let you be a Raider fan, that's between you and him. Okay, but what I'm saying is this, whoever wants to save the other life, the achy, breaky heart life, and still have a little bit of the Jesus life, that's not how discipleship works. So there is the myth of self-preservation. That is the idea that, oh, I can follow Jesus, but I can still, you know, be my old bad self too. No. God says, if you're going to follow Jesus, cut your losses and follow Jesus. All right. Then notice the blessing of total trust, because it says in verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So he says, if you are trying to save your life, you're probably going to lose both. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen that happen hundreds of times. I've seen people that they want to be popular with the world's crowd, and they want to be popular with God's crowd. And friend, over time, it just doesn't work that way. They mess up with God's crowd. They mess up with the world's crowd. Listen, just decide to follow Jesus, you see. But then notice it says here, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. God says, if you will wholly involve yourself with Jesus, if you'll just identify with Jesus, and you'll identify with him, then you're going to find, you're going to save what real life is. You're going to learn what real life is all about. Now notice in verse 24, the apostles and others were literal fulfillers of this passage, because they literally lost their life and found it in Jesus Christ. They literally followed Jesus to the point that from a world's perspective, they gave everything, but from a heavenly perspective, they gained everything. Or from a world's perspective, they lost everything, but from a heavenly perspective, they gained everything. Now think about these 12 who were hearing this message. One historian, Eusebius, who wrote much of early church history, tells us about some of the martyrs of that period in the early church. And we read of one disciple named Matthew who suffered martyrdom and gave his life in Ethiopia. He was beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, I don't care what the world thinks about me. You want to know? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, we'll take your head off for that. Whatever you've got to do, you've got to do. I have decided to follow Jesus. Okay. Andrew, Matthew rather, Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. John faced martyrdom. You know the story of John. He was boiled in a pot of oil in Patmos and later died serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. And according to some tradition, he told his tormentors he felt worthy to die on a cross like Jesus did. So they hung him upside down on a cross. James the Just, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny Jesus Christ. And when they discovered that he was still alive after that fall, the enemies of the church and of Jesus took clubs and beat James, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, until he finally succumbed to death. Again, Luke 17 says it this way: whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Isaiah 26 and verse 3: thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'm just saying, from the world's perspective, James and Peter and John and Matthew and Simon and Thomas and Bartholomew, hey, they were losers. Why? They didn't get to go to any more tailgate parties, and they didn't get to have any more fun at the parties. And why? Those Christians, look at them. And from the world's perspective, these disciples were losers, but from heaven's perspective, they were and are and forever will be the winners, my friend. Because they were willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this lukewarm day, when the church is preaching a self-fulfillment message, may we remember what discipleship is all about. Discipleship is all about truly following Him. Notice quickly this morning, we've seen the assessment of personal discipleship. And probably I should have stopped right there, but it's hard to preach through a whole book of the Bible, 2 verses a week. So we're going to try to get a few more verses here. But let's just pursue this for just a few more moments. Look at the assessment, because when you think about the assessment of discipleship, that should cause us to assess some of the pursuits of our life. How many of you understand life is short? How many of you are figuring that one out? Well, if discipleship is all about really following Jesus, then we don't want to waste a bunch of days not doing that. Okay? So, notice verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? So, if you want to be a disciple, you've got to step back and go, okay, am I pursuing Jesus or am I pursuing the world? And we've got to make the assessment of the pursuits of our life. So, notice letter A perilous pursuit. What is it advantage you if you gain the whole world? What is gain? Luke 12, 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, the rich man said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I'm not preaching this morning against financial stewardship or even savings or even preparing for your retirement, but sometimes that can be an obsession with some people. And some people will live and their lives and die and leave their entire estate to unsaved children who are going to do nothing for the cause of Christ with it. And sometimes people labor and labor and they're obsessed with, what am I going to have at the end of this rainbow? How's it going to work out? And Jesus comes to this rich man in Luke 12 and he says, you're a fool. He said, this night your soul will be required of you. And this is exactly how it is for those who lay up treasure for themselves and do not lay up treasure for God. In other words, keep pursuing Jesus. Keep seeking first the kingdom of God, and make sure that as you assess your pursuits in life, that it's not all about this earth, but that it's about heaven, you see. And that's why someone might say, well, you know, I think sometimes where else I might live, what else I might do. I'm going to tell you something. I am thankful to God this morning to live in Southern California in the Antelope Valley and to pastor a church that's on fire for missions and souls. And I could live in Idaho or Colorado or have a little pup tent somewhere in the middle of a forest where there aren't any people. But I'm glad I live in a place where there's 500,000 people who need Jesus Christ, because when I see Jesus, it's not going to be about how many nights I spent in a pup tent in Idaho. It's going to be about how I help to advance the kingdom of God. That's why years ago I staked my claim in this community and in this church to the glory of God, because I don't want to live my life for the perilous pursuits. Listen, I'm glad when I get a day's rest. I'm glad when I can have some time, and you ought to be glad when you have some time to rest or golf or do what you like to do. But hey, life is not about all of that. Life is about following Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what life's about. Watch out for the perilous pursuits. Anybody here this morning thinking, boy, all I think about is how I can have this and how I can do that. And if the Lord lets you do some of this and that, that's a good thing. But listen, if that's what your life is all about, that's a bad thing. Life is about following Jesus. That's what discipleship's about. Never regret coming to God's house. Never regret giving to God. Never regret witnessing for God. Listen, that's what life is all about. When you stand before Jesus, you're going to be so thankful for the way you live for Him. Notice a perilous pursuit, but notice a tragic problem. Here's the problem, verse 25. What happens if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or as Luke 4 says, or another gospel says, lose your own soul. And notice this verse here. It says, if you gain the whole world and lose yourself and be a castaway or be damaged goods, you see. You see, there are many people who gain it all, but they didn't gain the right thing. Listen, I'd rather see some of you struggling a bit here and there in this world, but having a love for God and a love for your wife and your husband. Amen. Hey, how do you put a price on that? A lot of you are in church today with your family. I got to tell you what, that's a big deal. Amen. You see, so what if you gain the whole world but lose that? You see, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You see, that's why we've got to make this assessment. That's why we've got to be careful of those perilous pursuits in life. Then notice, would you please, the Bible speaks that each and every one of us not only must be making the assessment of personal discipleship, making the assessment of the pursuits of life, but notice thirdly, we need to assess the prospect of eternity. You need to live every day with the end in mind. The book of Ecclesiastes teaches us, consider the end of the thing thereof. We need to wake up every morning and say, Jesus, help me to live today for you, and help me to live today with eternity in mind. Okay? Now notice how we close this in verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, Jesus says, and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and his holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now notice, first of all, a promised punishment. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, when I come, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Whoa. Now notice there's a choice then that we can make. The choice is either to accept Jesus and identify with Jesus or to reject Jesus. That's the choice everyone makes. To be ashamed of his words is another way of expressing to refuse his words or to refuse him. And when he says if we're ashamed of him and his words, then when he comes, he will be ashamed as well. Of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. So cross-bearing involves public confession of Jesus Christ. And it involves the acceptance of the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, this does not mean to imply this morning that everyone who is a follower of Jesus will constantly have a perfect witness. We're not talking about a life of perfection. There will be times in some Christians' lives when our testimony is not what it could have been. I think, for example, of Peter and the denial of Peter and how that Peter initially failed in Luke 22, and he followed from afar and he warmed his hand at the enemy's fire and he denied the Lord three times. But thank God that later in the book of Acts, he acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ and he repented. And by the way, that is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that if there has been a time of wavering in his life, there will also be a time of repentance and turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what you ought to pray for everyone who falls away from Jesus, that they would repent and come back. And by the way, we should always be a church that welcomes the repentant back. Okay. There's a fine line between encouraging the repentant and fraternizing with the worldly. But when someone that's repentant truly turns away from what they've been doing and comes back to the Lord, we ought not be like the older brother of the prodigal. We ought to be like the father and say, welcome back. Welcome back. And that's what Peter did. Peter came back to the Lord. But do you understand that there is a promised punishment for those who deny the Lord? And then notice, secondly, the judgment that is mentioned. There's the choice, either accept or reject Christ, and then there's the judgment, to be rejected by Christ. And the reference there in verse 26 to the Son of Man, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And when tied to Jesus' coming, and the imagery of His coming, we see that Jesus will come again with a judgment and with authority, and there will be a vindication and an exaltation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is that when Jesus comes, if He is ashamed of someone, that is to say, He will reject those who rejected Him. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, don't think that because you're in church, it's all good. But you, my friend, must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Luke 12 and verse 8, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. There is a promised punishment. But notice also as we close, there's a promised reward. Now look at verse 27. Very interesting verse, by the way, and we're going to explore it more next week. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. How many of you would say, well, that's an interesting statement. There's some of you standing here right now who will not die until you see the kingdom of God. There were three men here in this group of the 12 we mentioned a moment ago, who actually were about to see the kingdom of God. It's going to take place in an event we're going to study next Sunday morning called the Transfiguration. And Jesus is telling them, I know this is troubling for you. I know this may seem difficult. And this call to discipleship is not some little frivolous thing. But I want you to know some of you are going to get a glimpse of it. Some of you are going to see a little piece of what's coming for you as my children. In all three of the synoptic gospels, the promise here that you will not see death that we read in verse 27 is directly prior to this event called the Transfiguration. Luke 9:34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Furthermore, the word kingdom can be translated royal splendor. And what was about to happen at the Transfiguration is that God was going to bring three of these men into His royal splendor. Peter, James, and John, 6 days from the time these words are said, are going to enter in and see the glory of Christ. They're going to see what we might call His resurrected presence. And they're going to be in the presence of God's kingdom for just a few moments, for just a brief period of time. Before they would ever see death, they were going to see that kingdom. And may I say to you that even while that moment, that transfiguration would be a hopeful event for those three men, God has given us a hopeful event that we may look forward to. And ladies and gentlemen, it is called the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus would say this morning, hey, I know it's hard to deny self. And I understand sometimes it's hard to take up my cross. And if you're going to really be my disciple and follow me, somebody at work might laugh at you, and somebody in the community might make fun of you, and Christians might be the laughingstock of the community. It may be hard, but Jesus says, there is coming a day when you're going to see me face to face, and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall join them in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, Jesus says. Yeah, it's hard sometimes. Well, let me tell you something. There's a great day coming. Yeah. Oftentimes the day seems long. Life's trials hard to bear. But my friend, I want you to remember those next words. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Amen. True disciple of Jesus, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And if you're one of these guys trying to keep your life and keep the Jesus life, why don't you truly decide to follow Jesus today?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.